We're going to study the parasha of Zaken Mamre, the rebellious elder. We'll quickly read through the psukim. Ki poli mimcha davar lemishpat bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein ega lenega, divrei rivos b'sharecha. The Torah says that there is an ultimate authority in the judiciary branch that will decide and hand down a verdict that's absolutely binding. The question that we have will be raised in front of the Beis Din HaGadol, the High Court of Israel, made of 71 elders that sat right outside the Mikdash in what's called the Lishkas HaGozis. And then there's a mitzvah to comply with the decision of the High Court. And the Torah adds a lo sase. Lo tasur men adavar asher yagidu lecha yemin u'smol. Then the Torah says that these are the two key psukim here in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Dvarim. Psukim Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, the most relevant for us today. Ha'isha shayase bezodon levilti shmoel ha'kohen ha'omid l'shori shamas Hashem al-kecha. This individual who deliberately defies the decision of Beis Din. Umeis ha'ishahu. This rebellion is not tolerated. And the Mishnah establishes in Masech to Sanhedrin that he will be put to death with a very severe punishment of chenek. V'cholam yishmu v'yirov lo yazidunov. It has to be publicized, it has to be declared, and that's called hachroza, because this represents a key to Jewish life. I shared with you here the Torah Tmima. Rav Epstein, he gives a sort of an introduction or an overview to the laws of Zaken Mamre. He tells us that following the mitzvah, the command to appoint judges in every city in Israel, the Torah adds that the horah, the verdict, the decision handed down by that court, by the High Court of Israel, is absolutely binding. There can be machlokes, there can be controversy, there can be sfeikos in halacha, and they are brought to the attention of the High Court for Kamta Valisa. However, the Torah gives absolute authority vested in the Beis Din HaGadol B'Yerushalayim in every din and every mishpat. And even a Talmud Chacham, as great as of a scholar as he is, he's a mumche, he's an expert, he's a musmach. That means he has an unbroken tradition that links him back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nevertheless, he must comply, he must accept the decision of the High Court. There's going to be what's called an Amida L'Minyan. They're going to stand up and take a vote. And the Torah says, Achi Rabim Lahatos, the majority rules. The Asalo Laharachreim, and he cannot doubt their decision. The Torah gave the authority, and the Torah was given with all its dinim, with all its mitzvos, on the condition that the Beis Din HaGadol be the final word and authority to determine the law. But this individual, this elder, decides he's not complying. He's not going to accept the ruling of Beis Din HaGadol. And if he decides to argue with them on a theoretical level, you know, he expresses his view, that's not our case. Our case, the Zaken Mamre case, is that he hands down a decision despite the decision of Beis Din. And he tells us to do and to follow his personal decision. And again, after due warning and witnesses and so forth and so on, he goes ahead and he implements his decision against that of Beis Din HaGadol. He's called a Zaken Mamre. We're not talking, as you know, about an Amoritz, about an ignorant person. We're talking about a Mufla HaSamach LeBeis Din. We're talking about someone who could serve on the court himself. He has smicha, he has knowledge, he's a mumchi, he's an expert. If he's a Talmud, shalo yigil ara, he hasn't reached that level, then he's not a zaken mamre. The word zaken means misha kana chachma. We're not talking about age here. We're not talking about how white his beard is. That's irrelevant. We're talking about his level of knowledge. And all these laws are codified in a perek called Elu Hein HaNechnakim in Sanhedrin. Towards the end of the Masechta, you can see the Mishnah and the Sugya starting on Pei Vav Amid Beis for about three blots straight. The Rambam codifies this halacha in the third chapter of Hilchas Mamrim, the laws of the rebellious ones. These are halachas that are formulated with regard to Zaken Mamre, the power of Beis Nagadol, the Rambam formulates, as we'll soon see. Other Mamrim, for example, those who defy the honor and the awe that we have to have for our parents, an individual who's a Ben Sorer Umore that we're going to read about tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, or in 2 days, depending upon where you are in the globe. And the Rambam writes the following. He tells us that a Zaki Mamri is not someone who's ignorant. Aval Zaki Mamri Omer B'Torah Hu Chacham Echad Michachme Yisrael. He's literally one of the sages of Israel, part of the Mesorah. Yesh B'Yadu Kabbalah, he has a tradition. V'Dan U'more B'Divrei Torah, he deals with the laws of the Torah. K'moshi Yaduna V'Yaru Kol Chachme Yisrael. He has no different status as far as Hora is concerned, as far as his knowledge, his ability to determine halacha, than any other of the sages of Israel. Ubasa shebasalo machlokes bedin min adinim in bezdin agadol. He has a controversy, a disagreement with the High Court of Israel. Bedin min adinim. It doesn't matter in what area of halacha the verdict of Beis Din was handed down, and that's why the pasuk that we began with goes into very great detail. Beis Din l'din, dam l'dan, neg l'nega, whatever it might be. At this point, again, there are various restrictions. The lo chazar l'divrei, and despite the fact that the court has handed down its decision, he's unwilling to accept that decision. Ela, but rather chalak aleihem. He disagrees with them and continues to persist in his controversy until finally he reaches the clincher, the hora lasos shaloko rasa. And I would ask you to underline those four words, because I think herein lies the secret of defining the reason, the halachic formulation of what is the mechayev of Zakin Mamre. Hora lasos shaloko rasa. We have two entities. Again, when I say an entity, I'm not talking about something physical or tangible. I'm talking about a halachic entity, what we call in the world of lamdus a chal Hashem. We have a chal Hashem haras Beis Din, and we have now a chal Hashem haras chacham zaken, and there's a controversy, a head-on collision between one hara and the other hara. So if you ask me, why is the Zaken Mamre Chayav? According to the Rambam, the answer is because his Hora is Hora against the Hora's Beis Din. And I emphasize this point because we differentiate between people and entities. An entity is a Chayfetz. Here there's nothing personal. We're not talking about the members of the court and their sensitivities. We're not talking about, Bein Olam L'Chaveiro, where you humiliated someone. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, says the Rambam, the Horas Beis Din. The Torah has vested in the Horas Beis Din a very unique status. It's not like any other Horah. And that Horah, that decision, has to be maintained and has to be respected. Someone who flagrantly violates that Horah by giving another Horah, and your hora contravenes the hora of Beis Din. We have, again, as I said before, one hora against the other hora. The hora Zaken Mamre against the hora of Beis Din is Mechayev Misa. Gazral of Torah Misa. Again, the Rambam goes into details that apply to capital executions in which the criminal first recites Vidui, and then after Misa, he goes into Olam Haba. But that's not for us now, that's more for a Shia for Hilchas Tshuva and for Onshei Bezdin. But we're fascinated by the fact that the Machlokas here, which engenders the Chiyuv of the Zakin Mamre, is Hora Keneged Hora Asbest. One Hora against another Hora. The Rambam in Halacha Hey, if we fast forward a little bit in the same chapter, describes the credentials of the Zakin Mamre. As we said before, Ein Zakin Mamre Chayav Ad Sheyach Chacham Sheigil Hora. He's on the level of Higil Hora. He's reached the level of giving Hora. He could have sat on the Bezdin itself. Therefore, his Hora has the status of a Hora to engender a Chiyuv Misa, a capital punishment. The Yachlok al Bezdin HaGadol. And here the Rama begins to qualify exactly the nature of the Hora as Bezdin, which now he's more against. The Hora as Bezdin was Dover Shez Dono Kares. It was a serious matter because it's not a classical lav, but rather a high-powered lav, which is a lav that engenders a chiyuv kares. Or the Rambam has another case of tefillin. These are special psukim and drushes that we learn. The yora lasos kohora also, and he tells someone, he instructs someone to follow his hora against the hora of Bezdin. Or the Rambam says, Yaseh hu al pi hora also. If he himself implements his own hora, continuing to argue against Bezdin, and the Rambam says, where are the members of the court? The Rambam says, Vehem yoshvim belishkas hagozis. Bezdin is sitting, as we said before, outside the Beit HaMikdash, in the lishkas hagozis. All right. Now, I would like to raise three questions. And all these questions are predicated on the premise that we established by reading the Rambam carefully, and that is that the chiyuv of the Zakin Mamre is because he issues a hora which undermines, which contravenes the hora as Bezdin. My first question is the following. The Rambam says, V'yachlok aleihem ve'im yoshvim belishkas hagozis. Let's analyze the language of the Rambam. This requirement, which the Gemara derives from the Pasuk V'kamta ve'olisa la'mokom, what's the language of the Pasuk? Let's read it again. Meaning that they are sitting outside the Migdash, and the Torah again repeats itself, Min HaMokom Ahu, in Pasuk Yud, which is on the top of your page. The question is, what do we derive? We derive the conclusion that Bezdin cannot be on the move. They can't be located in any location other than the Makom Ahu, the Lishkas Hagozis, outside the Migdash. The language of the Gemara in Sanhedrin is Malamed, this Pasuk by Makom Ahu teaches us, Shah Makom Gorem. The actual location of the Dayanim of the Bezdin is essential. Gorem means it's the cause of the Chiyuv of Zakin Mamre. If the Bezdin is on the move, you know, they pack their tick, you know, and they move around, they could be wearing the black cloaks, but it's irrelevant. They have to be located in that makom. But here's my question. At what moment in time is it critical in order to activate the chiyuv of Zaki Mamre? At what moment in time is it absolutely required that the Bezdin be located in the Lishkas Hagozis? Is it at the moment when the Lishkas Hagozis issued their Hora? Or is it the moment that the Zaken issued his Horah, the Horah HaCholekes Al Bezdin? The other two possibilities. Let's read the Rambam. The Rambam says, V'yachlok Aleihem, when he disagrees with them, with his Horah, Heim Yoshvim Belishkas HaGazes. The Rambam, if you read it carefully, is saying that it's not sufficient that the Beis Din was sitting in the Lishkas HaGazes at the moment that they handed down their verdict. That's for sure. In Yiddish we'd say, upgerecht. That goes without saying. Because they only have the status of Beis Din as long as they sit in the Lishkas HaGazes. That's for sure. But the Rambam goes a step further. The Rambam implies, in a very strong diuk, that they have to be in the Lishkas HaGazes at the moment that he, the Zaken, is Cholek Aleihem. In fact, let me read to you the Rambam in Halacha Zayin. I'm fast-forwarding a few halachas. The Rambam says, Mitzan, which means that he, the Zaken, found them. Chutzlim Koman, when they were outside of the Lishkas HaGazes. V'himra Aleihem, and that's when he issues his verdict to rebel against them. Potter. Because for Kamto Alisa Malame Shamakum Gorim. The Rambam is absolutely outspoken about the requirement of Lishkas HaGazes, Hamakum Gorim, not only at the moment that the original Horas Beis Din, that now came under controversy, was issued, but also at the moment that the Zaken was Mamre, was Cholek Aleihem. Now we have, according to the Rambam, a twofold requirement of Lishkas HaGazes. We require Lishkas HaGazes, number one, first and foremost, at the moment of the Horas Beis Din, and that's clear, because otherwise there's no Chal Hashem Horah, it's not halakhically valid as Horah. And number two, we have an additional requirement of Hamakom Gorem, of Lishkas HaGazes, at the moment in which the Zaken was Cholek Aleihem, when he, the Zaken, issued his Horah. And I'd like to ask you a very, very fundamental question. Why should there be a requirement of Lishkas HaGazes at the moment of the Horas HaChacham, of the Horas HaZaken? That doesn't make any sense. Bishleim, I understand, I need the Makom Gorem at the moment that the Beis Din issued their Horah, because otherwise it's not Horas Beis Din. We define Beis Din by the Makom Gorem. Okay, so the Horah would only be a Horas Beis Din HaGadol if Beis Din was sitting in the Lishkas HaGazes at the moment that they handed down their decision. But why do we require, if our reading of the Rambam is correct and it's pretty explicit, why do we require Lishkas HaGazes at the moment that the Chacham, the Zaken, issues his Horah? He's Chayef for his Horah. His Horah, as Horah Cholekes, is not dependent upon where Beis Din is sitting. He's wherever he is. He's not a member of the court. But he can create a Horah, and that Horah inherently is a Mamre Horah. So why does the Rambam require Lishkas HaGazes at the moment that the Zaken issues his Horah? That's question number one. Question number two, take a look at the Me'iri on the bottom of page one. He quotes the Chachmei Hadoros Shelefanenu. He quotes the contemporary sages, contemporary 1,000 years ago. And he writes the following, Yiroya would seem, She'ein nase zokin mamre, ad she'yachlok im kol hashivim v'echad. He argues on all the 71. What does that mean, he argues on all the 71? They issued Horah, and his Horah is Horah Cholekes. Aval to the exclusion. Im hoya b'neim mishin niskam imo. If there's one member of the court that issued his verdict, what we call in law the dissenting opinion, If there was one dissenting opinion, meaning the decision was not unanimous, Eino Nerag. V'chein Kosvu Chachmei Hadoros Shulfanin. My friends, at the face of it, the Chachmei Hadoros make no sense whatsoever. There's something called a Chal Shem Oras Bezdin. It doesn't matter if it's unanimous or not. There is no halachic significance to a Peh Echad decision. That doesn't add or enhance the Horas Bezdin. Horas Bezdin is al pi rabim. The Torah says achrei rabim lahatos. The majority rules. The amida l'minyan, they take a vote, they hand down a decision. That's Horas Bezdin. It doesn't matter one iota whether or not the court came to that decision unanimously. And finally, my third question, if you take a look on page 2, the Gemara quotes Ze'ira Me'anshei Yerushalayim. And the issue that the Gemara addresses is Mechila. We know, for example, that in many areas of Halacha, there's something called Mechila. If you hurt me, if you stole from me, so again, whether it's psychological insult or a financial claim that I have for you and I demand compensation, nezikin, gzela, whatever it might be, there's a concept called mechila. I'm the bailim, I was insulted, or I was the victim of some theft, I could be mochel. Is there mechila in the context of zakin mamre? Omer Rav Yoshia, shlosha dvarim sachli ze'ira me'anshei Yerushalayim. I heard three dinim from Ze'ira. Number one, Baal shemachal al kinuyav machal, in the context of sota, if the Baal said to his wife, don't go into a private place with someone, that's called kinuy, he could be mochel. He could decide, he waves it, and he rescinds it. Ben soru morer, the rebellious son that we're going to read about in this week's parasha, Sharatza Aviv, O Imo, Limchalo Mochlimo. They were insulted, right? There are two elements in the Machayev of Ben Soru Mora. One is that he was Zolel Vesove, and the Gemara goes into detail at how much he ate and how much he drank. And number two is that he rebelled against his parents. He undermines the institution of Kibbut Avaim. They could be Mocha. Number three, and this is the one that's relevant to us, Zokei Mamre, the Ratzu Bezdin Limchalo Mochlinlo. The Bezdin can be Mochel. And he's off the hook. Kshebasi Eitzel Chaveirai Shebedorom, when Rav Hoshea says, I repeated, I transmitted these three halachos to my colleagues in the south, Al Shneim Hoduli, they accepted the first two. Mechila is effective with regard to Ben So, with regard to a Baal V'ishto in the Kinui situation, and with regard to Ben Soru Mori. But Al Zokein Mamre Lo Hoduli, they didn't accept it. In other words, according to the decision of the Chachmei Adorom, Chaverim Shebedorom, there's no Mechila in Zokein Mamre. Now before I read the next six words in the Gemara, let's just take a step back. Ze'ira is of the opinion that Mechila works even in the case of Zokei Mamre. It doesn't make any sense. Our premise, our definition, is that the Zokei Mamre is Chayev because his decision, his Hora, is a Hora HaCholekes al-Bezdin, al-Hora al-Bezdin al-Gadol. What difference does it make if the Bezdin is Mochel? What right for Mechila do they have? They're not even a bailim here. They already engendered Ahura. That Ahura is a reality. He issued his Ahura to contravene the Ahura of Bezdin HaGadol. Finito. He's Chayev. Where's there room for Mechila? So you might argue that's probably what the Chachmei Adorim had in mind when they said Lo Hodulo. But take a look. They add the following four words. Five words. Kidei shelo yirbu machlokes bi Yisrael. This is what we call in Yiddish a zaitige reason, a side reason. This is something external. Really, fundamentally, even the Chachamim Shebedarim accepted the view of Ze'ira. Meaning, there should be Mechila. Fundamentally, there is Mechila. And Ze'ir is right by extending Mechila from the case of Bala Ishto and Ben Sormar and applying it to Zokim Amre. But you know what? We're going to put a barrier here and we're going to disqualify Mechila. There's a reason why we have to exclude Mechila. And why is that? Kidei shelo yirbu machlokas b'Yisrael. Because otherwise, and I'm more or less paraphrasing the Ramban says in his Pirush al Torah, that there will be two Torahs, so multiple Torahs. You know, everyone has their own Torah with their own Orah. There's got to be a final decision-making process. But other than that, conceptually, fundamentally, Mechila would apply to Zaken Mamre. And I don't understand why. If the Zaken issues a Orah, HaCholekes al Orah is Bezen HaGadol, the entity of Orah is Bezen HaGadol exists and has a life of its own. So to speak, it stands on its own two feet. Well, what shaykhis? I mean, the Bezen HaGadol are not rescinding their original Orah, they're not changing their mind, which, again, that's a question if there is such a thing, Bechlal. But, be that as it may, Mechila is applicable when there's a personal affront against an individual. He has bailus, he has the control to be mochel and waive his rights, and be mochel on his covenant. But what does that have to do with Zaken Mamre? My friends, I'm going to take a break here. If there are any questions, you can either turn on your mic, or you can use the chat. If anyone has any questions, otherwise, I think based on these three questions, which I'm going to summarize, we have to come to a very radical conclusion about the nature of the chiyuv of Zaken Mamre. Until now, we've laid down a premise, and it's pretty clear in the Rambam that the Zaken Mamre is chayav for his horah, because his Horah contradicts the Horah of Bezen HaGadol, and that's the story. That's the A to Z. But now, we ask three questions. Number one, why is it that the Rambam requires Lishkas HaGazis at the moment that the Zaken issues his Horah? Number two, why does the Meiri, in the name of the Chachmei Ador Shel Faneinu, say that it has to be a unanimous decision that was handed down by Bezen HaGadol? We don't find any halachic significance to a unanimous decision. The Orah is the same identical Chal Shem Orah of Bezdin, whether or not it was unanimous or it was a majority decision. And number three, why does the Gemara in the name of Ze'ira allow for Mechila on the part of the Bezdin? And even those Chachmei Adorim who disagreed with him, they did so for a Zeitiger reason, not because fundamentally Mechila is inapplicable or irrelevant. What Shaykh is Mechila? Rabosai, it would seem to me that we have to add a major element here to the Parsha of Zaken Mamre. And the Chiyuv is not just Horah versus Horah. The chiyuv is that through the horas hachacham, the horas hazaken, there's a pegia, there's an insult in the kavod of bezdin. The concept of kavod bezdin, and the flip side, which we would call in modern jargon, but I don't want to confuse you, contempt of court. Again, if there are any lawyers in the audience, I don't mean that as a literal analogy. The institution of Bezdin has to be granted a certain kavod, a certain awe and respect. I'm going to give you one example, but there are many. The Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, which is the second source on page 2, Perek Chaf Hei, Halacha Chaf Gimel, says that the dayan, the member of the court, has to act and behave in a way that engenders respect. And not only that, it's tavu atzibur lino kovod b'dayin. There's a separate mitzvah, which the Rambam incorporates into the mitzvahs, to be noeg kovod b'dayonin. And that's incumbent upon the tzibur, emas hadayin aleya. Otherwise, there's zilusa debedina, there's an undermining of the kovod of the dayonin. And you'll see how the Rambam in Halacha Dalid fleshes this out in practical situations, how this requirement reaches its fulfillment. In any event, Let's get back to our discussion. If the halacha of Zakein Mamre belongs to Kavod of Bezdin, because he's being pogay, he's undermining the authority of the court, he's saying, you know what? I'm greater than you. I don't care about your authority. I'm a Zakein Shigil Ora, and I have a Mesorah back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That pegia in Kavod, says the Rambam, requires that at the moment that he's cholek on Bezdin, the members of the court have the status of Bezdin HaGadol. The requirement of Bezdin HaGadol, says the Rambam, is not just to engender a Chal Hashem HaRoah as Bezdin, that's for sure. But in addition, the moment of HaRoah HaCholekes, meaning when the Zakein Mamre issues his decision, that decision itself is pogea in the Bezdin, says the Rambam, on condition that they, at that moment, when he issues his Orah, have the status of Bezdin HaGadol. The status of Bezdin HaGadol is a twofold requirement. Number one, it's a requirement in engendering a Hefta, an entity of Horas Bezdin HaGadol. And number two, it's a requirement in the Gavra of the Bezdin HaGadol. Every single member of the court has the status of a member of membership in the Bezdin HaGadol. When? If they're sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes. The moment that they leave the Lishkas HaGozes, they no longer have the status of Bezdin HaGadol. You want to be Pogea in the covenant of Bezdin HaGadol? For that you're going to be Chayv Misa? You can only do so if the Bezdin HaGadol is sitting on Makom Goreim in Lishkas HaGozes at that critical moment when you issue your Horah. And if this be the case, the Meiri in the name of the Chachmei HaDoros would make sense. Because if there's a dissenting opinion, then the Zakein Mamre, although he is certainly being pogay in the covenant of Bezdin, but it's not the same level. Shall we say it drops down one darga in its severity? Why? Because you know what he's saying, the Chacham? He's saying, look, you know, Yankel Beryl, who sits on your Bezdin, he himself agrees with me. In other words, I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just supporting the view of the dissenter. And in that sense, it's not the same level of being pogea in the kavod of Bezdin HaGadol. It's one thing to say, you know what, you guys are a bunch of losers. You know, I'm smarter than you. My authority is greater than you. I have a Mesorah back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he starts telling you what he knows and what tests he took. He took all the Rabbanut exams. That's what we do in our Kollel. And he has an unbroken chain back to Moshe Rabbeinu, tells you who his Rebbe is, his Rebbe's Rebbe. And, you know, I learned by all the Gedolim. You've heard it. You know, my Rebbe was so-and-so, right? And that's one thing. But it's another thing. It's a horse of a different color. If he makes a statement that, you know what, these guys make sense, let's accept the minority opinion. Okay, so I wouldn't give him shishi for that. You know, the Torah says achiram lahatos, but nevertheless, it's not the same level or severity of being pogev, undermining the covenant of best. And finally, we begin to understand where mechila plays a role. Mechila plays a role in a personal bailus. When I was insulted, I was affronted, says the Gemara in the name of Ze'irim Ish Yushalayim, that yes, the Mechayev of Zakein Mamre is being pogay in the covenant of the Bezdin. If Bezdin decide for whatever reason they want to waive their demands of kavod, that's a different story. Comes along the Chachmei HaDorim and they say, wait a minute, Kadesh Lo Yirbu Machlokas Bistro. I want to read with you the Rambam in his introduction to the Mishnah in the Perek of Elohein HaNachnoki. The Rambam says, the Zakein Mamre, who ish hamachshiv es dvarav al divrei Bezdin HaGadol, he considers his decision and whatever he thinks and he says to be more chashiv, to be more significant than what the Bezdin HaGadol says. And look at the next few words. Again, you could read this a million times and miss the punchline. V'chayvo akosav misa, the Torah says he's put to death. Why? Says the Rambam, mishum kvodam. Please bold those words. It's not just a horah acholekes. It's kavod Bezdin HaGadol. And the Rambam goes even further. Kmo, the Rambam says, I have an analogy. Shechiev, as the Torah was Mechayev, Mekalel Aviv Misa. A person who curses his father, Rachmana Litzlan, is chayv misa mishum kvod hora. The Rambam equates kvod horim with kvod bezna gola with regard to zakei mamre. Ulefichach, and therefore, says the Rambam, here's the clincher, yesh omrim zakei mamre al pi bezdin, the zakin who's cholik on the pi, on the mouth of bezdin, sheratzu bezdin limcholo, mochlimlo. Without quoting the sugya on Peches of Zira in Shalayim, he alludes to Zira Ishu Shalayim, and he says that Mechila makes sense. Just like Mechila makes sense in the case of Kibud Avaim and Mekal Aviv and so forth, so too it's applicable, and this is the opinion expressed by Zira Ishu Shalayim in the case of Zakin Mam. Aval Ein Adin Ken, the Rabbi says, La Allah, we're not going to accept this Mechila, and why is that? Minatam shiz kiru, because the Gemara mentions the reasoning, kidei shelo yirbu machlokes b'Yisrael. We begin to understand, according to the Rambam, why the Rambam himself consistently requires, in a consistent way, requires that Bezdin be sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis, not only at the moment they issued their original psak, but also at the moment that he, the Zakin, is cholek aleihem, because as they're sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis, they have the status of the Bezdin HaGadol. Now he's undermining their kavod. And as we said before, the requirement according to the Chachmei Hador Shel Fanenu in the Meiri of a unanimous decision. I'd like to return to the Rambam for a moment, which we have on page 1. The Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, in Perek Gimel, Sof Halacha Dalet, Afal Pi Shehu Don, Vehem Donim, Hu Kibel, Vehem Kiblu, Harei HaTorah, Cholko Lehem Kavod. And the reason why I emphasize this is because lest one of you in the audience will say, Rebbe, you know, that's very nice, you're quoting a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis, which the Rambam authored when he was a youth, and it was translated from the Arabic. But maybe the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah doesn't maintain that. How do you know that the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, 30 years later in his life, still maintained this definition that the Zakei Mamre is chayav because of the Kavod HaBezdin? And I show you the following words. Sharei HaTorah Cholkolem Kavod. The Torah gave Kavod to the Bezdin. And then the Rambam says that Mechila is inoperative to Kidei Shelo Yirbu Machlokes B'Yisrael. And I'm thinking out loud in the same parsha that we began, if you read it, we have Lo Sosur. Maybe according to the Rambam, who maintains a very radical position on Lo Sosur, the Ramban goes ballistic on it, the Rambam's view is that any time a person, any individual, we're not talking about Chachmei Yisrael, violates a Durabanan, a rabbinic institution, a Gzera, a Minog, a Mitzvah, Takan of Chachamim, he violates Lo Sosur. It's possible, again I have no proof for this, but it would be logically attractive to maintain that according to the Rambam, Lo Sosur is another halacha in Kavod Bezdin. That when a person says, I'm not going to Megillah reading, or I'm not lighting Ner Chanukah, what he's doing is, in effect, he's undermining the authority of the Bezdin HaGadol that made this takana and instituted this mitzvah. Okay, that's just in passing. We're not studying Lo Sosur, but it would be interesting to see a Lishitaso, a consistency here in the Rambam. What I want to do with you for the remainder of our time is to study a machlokas between Rav Kahana and Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Adaf Peches. This is the fourth source on your page 2. Rav Kahana says that a Zakin Mamre is not chayav if he disagrees with Bezdin because of Mipi Ashmua, because he claims to have an unbroken tradition with regard to that verdict. Or, if he disagrees with the Bezdin HaGadol because he thinks they're wrong, and they think they're right, that also would not engender a chiyuv. And how much more so, if they think they're right, based on logic, and he says, well, he has an unbroken tradition, Mipi Ashmua. The only scenario, the only combination of these variables, which engenders a chiyuv zakei mamre according to Rav Kahana, is if they say they have a mesorah, mipi hashmua, on this halach, on this verdict, and he says, lo nira b'yenai, completely disagreeing with their mesorah. That's the opinion of Rav Kahana. Only in that scenario is he chayav. And Rav Kahana induces a proof from Akavya ben Malalel, who is cholek on the Chachamim Belishkas Hagazis. Rashi quotes Masechta Elios here. Shahaya Omer Libno, that he told his son at the moment that he thought they were going to put him to death. At the end, they didn't put him to death. He says, Omer li ani shamati mipi merubim veheim shamu mipi merubim. In other words, he quotes his Mesorah, the Beis Nagol quoted their Mesorah, and he's not chayef in such a case. They did not put him to death. Says Rav Kahana, you know why they didn't put him to death? Because he has to be cholik on the Beis Nagol when he says kach nira b'yena. But if he's quoting an unbroken tradition that he claims to have received, then he's not chayef. And Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Afilu omer hu mipi ashmua. He says, I have a mipi ashmua. Vehem omerim kach hu b'yenenu. But it doesn't appear that that's right. Nerag, he's put to death. In all cases, the Zakei Mamre is put to death. And why can they shlo yirbu machlokes b'Yisrael? And then you'll ask me why Akavya ben Malal was not put to death. That was a technicality, because lo hora halacha lemaisa. Because at the end of the day, he never actually handed the verdict down lemaisa. What is the nature of this machlokes? Why does Rav Kahana so severely circumscribe and limit the chiyuv of Zakei Mamre? It's only a case where kach hu b'yenai, and the Beis Nagol says mipi ashmua. Says the Aruch Laner, and if you have a chance, go through it, you know, b'yeter iyun, because it's very complicated. He says the following, that according to Rav Kahana, the chiyuv of Zakei Mamre is because of Kavod Bezdin. And if he's claiming this Zakein, Mipi Ashmua, that he heard it from his Rebbeim, that's not Pogea in the Kavod Bezdin. He's obligated to pass on his tradition. He got a tradition Mipi Ashmua. That's what he's doing. He's not being Cholek on the Kavod, undermining the Kavod of Bezdin. He's saying, Kol HaKavod Lachem, I respect you, but I have to tell you what I heard from my Rebbe, who heard it from his Rebbe. Just like Akavya ben Malalel said, that's what I heard from my Rebbein. However, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Mechayev of Zakei Mamre, says the Aruch Laner, is not covered of Bezdin, but rather, it's Ribui Machlokis. The reason why the Zakein is Chayev is because he's creating controversy. If that be the case, says the Aruch Laner, it makes no difference. For whatever reason, he comes to his conclusion and he's Mora Hora against the Oraz Bezdin, he's being Marbe Machlokas B'Yisrael, and that's why he's Chayev. I have a number of questions on the Aruch Laner. I'm going to share with you one of them now, and if we have time, but again, we're running low on time, and I know it's late at night. And my question is as follows. If the Aruch Laner is saying that according to Rav Kahana, the Mechayev of Zakei Mamre is because he's being pogem b'kavod HaBezdin, and therefore he's potter when he says mipi ashmua, what happens in the case where Bezdin hands down a verdict mipi ashmua, and he, the Zakei Mamre, says kach nira b'yenai? So obviously, In such a case, he's being pogea in the covet of Bezdin. And that's the case that Rav Kahana says, Yechaifo. He says, Kachnir v'enai, and they say, Mipi Ashmur. However, I don't get it. What about the case where he says, Kachnir v'enai, and they say, Kachnir v'enai? There, Rav Kahana says, he's potter. Is that not a pogea in covet of Bezdin? He says, "Feifter on it, you know, go blow a horn. I'm smarter than you." That seems to me, in my mind, to be the greatest pegia in the covenant of Bezdin. And therefore, Abosai, again, I'm making a long story short here, I would suggest a different pshat in Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana holds that the mechayev of Zachin Mare is the Mesorah of the Torah. He, the Zachin Mamre, in this case is saying, you know what? You have a Bipi Hashmua, you have your Mesorah. I don't accept your Mesorah. It's not logical. I have reasons to believe that you made a mistake, that you erred. That's the Machayev, according to Rav Kahan. Rabbi Lezer, on the other hand, holds that on the contrary, the Machayev of Zaki Mamre is covered Bezdin. In other words, I'm switching it around, whereas the Arch Laner identifies covered Bezdin with Rav Kahana, and we asked, so what happens if they're both saying Kachnir Vienna, he's Potter? That doesn't make any sense. He's being pogay in that covered. How much more so? He's saying your logic is inferior to my logic, and Rav Kahana says he's Potter in that case. Why? The answer is Rav Kahana's basis. He fundamentally sees it as a halacha of Mesorah, that the Torah gave the parasha of Zachin Mamre to guarantee the Mesorah Satorah. Says Rav Kahana, that makes sense in a case where they say Mipi Yeshmua, he says no, Kach Nirubenai, and I don't have any respect for Mesorah. Again, if he has his own Mesorah, that's something different. Or if Bezdin says Kach Nirubenai, and that, they're not basing their verdict on any Mesorah, that's a different story. But when they present the Mesorah, and he says no, my logic is greater than the Mesorah, he's undermining the Mesorah, that's when the Torah says Yechayv in Zokim Amar. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer, and he says no, the problem is Kovod HaBezdin. But here, my friends, we have to analyze, what does it mean Kovod HaBezdin? Rabbi Eliezer understands that Kovod HaBezdin is a different kind of kavod. It's very similar, but should not be identified with the universal concept of kavod. The kavod of Bezdin here is the authority that's vested in Bezdin to hand down a decision that compels every member of Knesset Yisrael to accept their opinion, to comply with their decision. That's the kavod of Bezdin. Says Rabbi Eliezer, you know when the Zokim Mamre is chayav? Whenever he undermines the authority of Bezdin, whenever he says, you know what, my authority is greater, I can hand down a hora, even if it undermines the authority of Bezdin HaGadol, don't listen to Bezdin HaGadol, you listen to me. And says Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't matter in what scenario, in what combination of variables, he insists that he has the ability and the authority to issue a verdict that undermines the authority of Bezdin HaGadol. Whether Bezdin HaGadol were issuing a verdict based on logic, their conclusion, or whether it was Mipi HaShmua because of a tradition, whether he disagrees with them because he claims he has a Mesorah, or he claims that his logic is superior to theirs, in all those cases, he is undermining the kavod of Bezdin. Kavod is not a personal kavod. We're not talking in terms of human interactive relationships. We're not talking about, you know, are you insulting me? Are you not insulting me? That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the kavod that Bezdin has authorized, that the Torah, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah has authorized Bezdin, vested in them kavod, meaning authority. And that's what the Rambam means when we go back to the Rambam at the end of Halacha Daled, when he says HaTorah Chilkalem Kavod. What does it mean HaTorah Chilkalem Kavod? This has nothing to do with the personal Kavod of the Bezdin. It has to do with their authority. If he's Cholek on a Bezdin, he is undermining their Kavod. And if we go back to Rabbi Eliezer, now we understand why Rabbi Eliezer quotes the Halacha Kedei Shelo Yirbu Machlokas BiYisrael. Rabbi Eliezer is spelling out, he's identifying what exactly is the Kavod HaBezdin. What's the nature and the essence of Kavod HaBezdin? The essence of the Kavod HaBezdin is Shalo Yirbu Machlokas BiYisrael. The Torah needed a method to achieve its goal and guarantee that there be one Torah and not two Torahs. That there be a final authority that can issue a verdict and interpret the law, and that legislation will be binding. That's the Kavod HaBezdin. The Kavod HaBezdin means their authority is the final word. If he, in any combination, says that their authority is not impressive for me. It doesn't impress me. I have an authority, and my authority is superior to theirs. He's more ora against their ora, then he undermines the covenant of Beis Din. And therefore, you might think that Beis Din, since the Torah gave them authority and protected their covenant, they have the right to be mochel. Says the Gemara, no. Kidei shelo yirbu machlokas b'Yisrael. Their kavod is not their personal kavod. Their kavod reflects the kavod of Beis Din and its status, its authority, and therefore, if they'll be mochel on their kavod, it undermines the whole purpose of the parsha and the chiyuv of Zaki Mamre, shelo yirbu machlokas b'Yisrael. Because as we said before in Rabbi Eliezer's frame of reference, kavod here of Beis Din means shelo yirbu machlokas b'Yisrael. In order to guarantee that the Torah be transmitted with one and only one, we live in contemporary society where unfortunately we have no Beis Din HaGadol. And therefore, if you ask me how many Torahs we have, the number of Torahs we have equals the number of Chachmei Yisrael out there who are issuing their verdicts. And on every issue, you'll have so many different opinions. That's never the way Torah looks today. It's splintered into so many groups, so many opinions, so many authorities, because we don't have the Beis Din HaGadol. The covenant of Beis Din HaGadol, says Rabbi Eliezer, is identical with Kedei Shelo Yirbu Machlokas B'Yisrael. It's not a personal covenant. And therefore, Mechila has to be completely out of place. If we allow for Mechila, and we don't put the Zaki Mamre to death, then the covenant of Beis Din will not be maintained. Okay, that's what I wanted to share with you today, or tonight I should say, and I want to thank everyone for coming. If anyone wants to turn on their, you know, their microphones, or write me a little chat and ask any questions, I'll just quickly summarize what we said. We see that the Machayev of Zaki Mamre is not just being cholek, but also undermining the covenant of Beis Din. However, we have to carefully define the nature of the covenant of Beis Din. Okay, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. Have a great Shabbos. And if there's any questions that you want to send me, please send it to me by email. And please again let me know when you're free, when you're available for any shiurim next week. Most of my shiurim are at 12:15 on your clock. I'm always interested in hearing, you know, variations and suggestions. I'm not closed on anything. Oh, I have a question here from David Spiegel. Is the covet of Beis Din like that of a king? I think that's a brilliant comparison, because Melech Shemachal al Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machal, there's got to be an authority, and that authority is vested in the king, in his area, and in legislation, of course, in the Beis Din HaGadol, and in that sense, there is a great comparison between the two. Adam is wishing me a good Shabbos. Adam, again, I say this to everyone, but I'm saying it to Adam. If you have a camera, I'd love to see you. I don't know, it would give me a whole different experience and a connection, you know, that we see each other. But again, that's not always feasible, so I'll take whatever you have. Okay. Again, The personal covet of the Beis Din is identical with the office of the Beis Din HaGadol. And therefore, when he's cholek, his machlokes is against the Beis Din HaGadol with all that authority, because they're sitting in the Lishkas HaGazos. Again, the Chachmei Hadoros of the Meiri might be difficult now, but again, we don't find that opinion is expressed or quoted in any of the poskim, that it has to be a unanimous decision, because again, in terms of the power and the authority of Beis Din, it doesn't make any difference whether it was a unanimous decision or there was a dissenting view. And therefore, I would maintain, based on our understanding of the sugya, it's not that of the Aruch Laner. Again, we have a number of objections to the Aruch Laner. I only mentioned one of them, just to repeat quickly. The Aruch Laner identifies Rav Kahana with Kavod Beis Din. That doesn't make sense, because in a case where the Zaken is saying Kach Nira V'Einai, my logic is more powerful than that of the Beis Din, he certainly is undermining their Kavod. How could that be potter, according to the Aruch Laner? Okay, Rabosai, wish everyone a great Shabbos, and thanks again for joining me. And let's be in touch. Kol Tov. Shabbat Shalom.